Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's hard to believe they could get any bigger than this one. That's right. Titans and Texans, the pregame show live from the George Jones. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, former Titans general manager Floyd Reese, 8-5 Titans, 8-5 Texans, the division on the line, two out of the next 3 weeks, and it starts today at Nissan Stadium, and I got to be honest with you, the fan buzz around the city has been palpable about this Titans game. This is a Titans team right now, 6-1 since Ryan Tannehill took over as quarterback. Chris Sanders?
Yes.
This feels like the old days a little bit. A big Sunday home game in December with you. It used to be Jacksonville or Baltimore. Then it was Indianapolis. Today it's the Texans in a humongous home game at the end of the season.
Man, it is. I mean, it's funny because, you know, I like to get my sleep. I mean, I couldn't even sleep last night because you just feel that this is something different today. I mean, you got the Texans, you got the Titans in a big divisional game. I mean, it's just so many things that are going on. It's just like what's that receiver say? He said, get your popcorn ready. It's kind of one of those things to where you got an exciting game, and the Tennessee Titans have a great, great chance to win the division.
Floyd, today you always talk about all the things that go into running a football team, all the things that go into coaching a football team, all the things that go into playing, the running, the weightlifting, the experience all throughout the week, the practice, the hours that these coaches work. And it feels like it kind of comes down to these final two games with the Texans starting today.
Yeah, I mean, that very well could be the case. I mean, it, with three games remaining, you're in great position. You know, I mean, you work, as Parcells would say, this is why you lift all them blank weights, you know, to get to a point where you can be a contender. And here we are, you know, tied for first. So, obviously, a contender. And now you just have to find a way to pull it off. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the teams we talk about all the time. You know, these 8-8 teams that end up winning 10-11 games, mm-hmm. they win games like this. You don't win a game like this, then you're probably 9-7 or, you know, something like that. But, you know, it's nice to be, you know, we may have had bigger games last year at the end, for the playoffs was a giant game, and we had a playoff game a couple of years ago that was a giant game. But today, right now, this is really a big game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've tried to push myself away so that I could be calm
No doubt.
And I can't do it. You know, I'm like Chris. I couldn't sleep last night. Man. I mean, you're awake. You're rolling around. You're up early. You're thinking, well, you know. And when you were in my position, when you're coaching, you know, you're worried about the team, but you're also worried about your guys. Mm-hmm. You know, how is my guy going to play? And you've got to go out there and you've got to play. But when you're a GM, mm-hmm. you set it all up, but you really don't have much control after that. Consequently, you spend all your time thinking about, you know, what can go wrong? What if? What is going to be a problem? Can we, you know, get over that hurdle? Can we get yourself in position? And that's kind of where I am now. You know, again, absolutely no control, and I'm going to watch it, and you hope for the best, but I go back to Corey Curtis, you know, hope is not a strategy.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you want to go out there and you want to find a way. And you know that you have the tools to do it, mm-hmm. but so do they. You know, so you, there you kind of have it.
I mean, just looking at this Tennessee Titans team, I'm very, very proud of this team, you know, where they started. They started 2-4, and they had a chance to fold. But Mike Vrabel and his staff did a great job by keeping this team together. I mean, I know we've been criticizing Arthur Smith and Vrabel on some of the decisions that they made. But look at how they started and look at where they're at now. I mean, I'm just really proud of this team. And just like what Floyd was talking about, I mean, I almost put on my pads this morning. No, I'm serious. I mean, I was like, wait a minute. I'm getting kind of chubby around the edges. I don't know if I can fit that. But it's just
they used to fit better.
They used to fit better. But it's just Floyd and Jared, it's just a different feel. See, I was trying to be calm when I got, you know, when he asked me the question, kind of ease into it. Floyd done got me hyped because, man, just what he just said makes me want to put on my old cleats, and I'm not going to put on my jock strap, but I'm put on my shoulder pads. But I'm just telling you, man, it's just a different feel knowing that where the Titans came from, and now they're in position to control their own destiny. Unbelievable job by this coaching staff.
I brought this up all throughout the week. I think the fans feel different about today's game than they have the other big games in the past, and I think it's because they believe in this team. These fans, Tannehill and Henry, I think have convinced these fans that this team isn't going to be the same old Titans team that just lets them down. That doesn't mean that Titan fans, you know, are going to be completely out if they lose today. Or, I mean, Floyd and I talked to some pretty wild fans this week, so I don't want to speak for all the fans there, because you got Titan fans this week calling the show thinking they're going to win by 21 points. Now, I can just not get there right now. But, I mean, I think that the quarterback and the running back have given these fans something to latch onto. And it reminds me when I was a fan, and I keep going back to the old days against Jacksonville and Baltimore and Peyton Manning and Indy, and what those games were like. And as a fan, you could always get behind Steve McNair and Eddie George, because you knew those two guys on a big game like this, that you knew they couldn't practice during the week, but you knew they'd play, and you knew they'd play well. Derrick Henry didn't practice this week. He says he's going to go. Adam Schefter reports he is going to go today for the Titans. The Titans made a move yesterday, but they didn't bring up a running back, which is a good sign for Derrick Henry. But I really feel, Chris, like this team is something these fans are behind because of Henry and Tannehill, and it reminds me how the fans used to believe in Eddie George and Steve McNair.
There's one word. When you had Steve McNair, you had Eddie George. They had a level of toughness. I mean, if you look at Tanning and Henry, they have a level of toughness. And as a former player, you appreciate that because they are mentally tough. I mean, look at Henry last week when he hurt his hamstring a little bit and he wanted to come out the game. I mean, he wanted to stay in the game. That shows you that he cares. It shows you that he's tough, and it shows you that he wants to do something great for this team. Look at Tanning Hill. Here's Tanning Hill, who's a quarterback who makes a physical tackle on a big defensive end. I mean, it was a great form tackle. And then when he played against the Chiefs, he runs through, you know, the safety's lips. That just shows you when you have two guys that's landing on the line and putting everything at stake and doing it for their teammates, as a former athlete, you appreciate what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think people can look at this team and look at the way we've won the last little bit and say to themselves, you know what, I can't remember the last game we won because of a blocked punt. Okay? You know, I can't remember the last game we won because of a blocked field goal. Can't remember it because we picked up a fumble. Well, we're doing all those things. And that's part of the reason you end up 6-1 is you're able to do those things. So it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be exciting, and I think you have to, you know, there's nothing more exciting in a tight game than to see somebody make a play that ends up winning the game, you know, right at the end, some kind of a dramatic, a great run, a great throw, a block, whatever it may be.
We talked about Cruikshank blocking the kick against Indianapolis the other week. They essentially 5 minutes to go, tie game, Indy's kicking for the lead, and all of a sudden Cruikshank and Ty Smith turn the game around.
And I think you know those things are so exciting and they're so, you know, unexpected. You're you know, hoping again. Sorry, Corey, but you know, do you expect it? Have you ever seen it? Does it happen often? No, to none of those things. You find a way. So that's kind of what you're looking for today. I mean, these games, in my opinion, all boil down to kind of the same things. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about big plays. You're talking about turnovers. You're talking about injuries, and you're talking about penalties. And if you can control all of those things, then, you know, you're going to have a pretty good chance. Because if you are controlling those things, chances are they aren't. You know, they are getting more penalties. Mm-hmm. Penalties are going to be crucial, you know, in a game that's going to be this tight. You know, a pass interference penalty, a roughing the quarterback penalty, a holding penalty, all of those things that maybe eliminate a touchdown or eliminate a big play. Well, it's not like you're going to go out the next series and get another big play.
Yeah.
I mean, there just aren't, you know, hopefully going to be that many of them. And so, you know, you have to take full advantage of every single one of those little edges that you can get.
And when was the last time that we had we saw the Tennessee Titans team play exciting football like that?
When
was the last time we saw a 91-yard touchdown? When was that? The last time we saw that was against the Jets against
Chris
Sayers.
I'm kidding.
He was waiting all morning for that.
That's what kept him awake all night.
Exactly.
I'm going to swing that into the,
that's what
into
kept
the
me
show
awake.
Tomorrow. Again, we are live today at the George Jones, downtown 2nd Avenue. The doors open in 20 minutes. Come on out to the George Jones. If you're on your way to the game, stop on by. Park downtown. Stop on by the George Jones as you make your way over to Nissan Stadium today. Titans and Texans. The Texans coming off of a loss against the Denver Broncos, which, if you listened to the pregame show last week, we essentially gave you full play-by-play of on the pregame show as we were trying to watch that and host the pregame show at the same time. The Titans, meanwhile, are red hot. Coming up next, the Kubota Tractors. Four downs. We take a look at the four big stories. And, of course, the hamstring heard around the world we will discuss as well. As we are live at the George Jones, it is the pregame show, Titans and Texans. It's ESPN 102.5, the game. Jared, the GM, Chris Sanders, live from the George Jones pregame coverage, Titans and Texans. Today on CBS, the number one crew in town.
Yes, sir.
Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, and Tracy Wolfson on CBS. This is a big game. And it's time now to take a look at the four big storylines of today's game. It's time for Four Downs, presented by your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers.
First down.
I think the biggest story today, and we all know, Derrick Henry's hamstring. What are we going to see today from Derrick Henry? We saw in the Oakland game, Henry went out, was wrapping the hamstring, went to the locker room at halftime in a tied game, so on and so forth. And then once the game was out of hand, Mike Vrabel sat Henry right on the bench. Vrabel did not seem too concerned about it during the week. And ESPN's Adam Schefter reported early this morning that Derrick Henry will, in fact, play today. So Chris Sanders, with that hamstring injury, we don't know the extent of it. We don't know what kind of pull it is, but he's going to play. What can we expect out of Derrick Henry?
I mean, it's all going to depend on Derrick Henry on how he feels. Now, I'm not concerned about the first or second quarter. I'm concerned when it hits the third quarter, because then that's when, you know, your hamstring tightens up. And another thing, too, we were talking about this off the air about the hamstring. Only thing that I'm concerned about, too, is if he's not practicing during the week and then all of a sudden he tries to go full speed, that concerns me, because in my opinion, just being a former track guy and a former football player, that if I ever hurt my hamstring, I'm going to work with it during the week so it can feel good when I can explode when I run track. So I'm just concerned about Derek when he gets out there and he tries to hit that second gear. Is he going to be all right? So it's basically up to him on what he does in the third and fourth quarter.
Floyd, what do we think about Derrick Henry's hamstring today? How closely will you be watching it early today, and how much will this affect the game plan for both the Titans and the Texans?
Well, as long as he's playing, I mean, it won't affect the game plan either way, I don't think. Now, he you know, I'm going to imagine he's going to take a few more plays off than he normally does, simply because they're going to try to manage him. The problem is we don't know how bad the hamstring is, you know, because if you look at him before the game, you look at him at halftime, you look at him after the game, I mean, you can't tell that anything, you know, they had it wrapped and, you know, they took him in early at halftime and things like that. But it wasn't like he was limping, you know, you didn't. The only thing you noticed was when he had a chance to pop it, you know, he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then you can manage it and probably be okay. But, I mean, the truth is, it's like Chris said, who knows what to do with hamstrings? I don't. You know, I mean, there are doctors, they'll tell you, and trainers, they'll tell you. But you'll even find those guys that will that will contradict each other and dispute each other. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what the answer is. You know, it's something that, you know, he's got to find out what it is for him, what he needs to do. And he's going to, this will be something he'll have to manage the rest of the year.
You know, and also what helps him too is if you look at what he's been doing this whole season, is he's making one cut and he's going. I mean, that's really going to help him as opposed to dancing and trying to, you know, juke somebody. He's just going straight downhill. So if he just continues to do that like what he did against the Raiders, I think they'll be fine.
That takes us to second down.
Second down.
What do we think of the Houston Texans? 8-5 2 weeks ago, they annihilated the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. They made Tom Brady look helpless. Now, that being said, Brady this season not having a banner year as he winds down towards the end of his career. But last week against the Denver Broncos, they made Drew Lock look like a future Hall of Famer. So, Chris,
yes, sir.
What do we make of the Texans today? They come in at 8-5.
I mean, they're a scary team, and the one guy who leads that ship is Watson. He's been playing phenomenal football. I know he was inconsistent last week, but he's one of those guys that can really scare you and make some plays. And you know, one thing I love about this kid is he extends the play. And when you have a quarterback that extends the play, he has potential to make plays and make everybody around him better. So I just think if the Tennessee Titans put a lot of pressure on him make mistakes like he did last week. Last week he threw two interceptions. Make him make picks. Make him uncomfortable in the pocket. And I think we can definitely be successful.
Floyd, I think we saw the Texans at their best against New England. I think we saw them at their worst against Denver last week. What do we make of that swing of what we saw the last 2 weeks out of the Texans?
You know, the truth is, as I always say, they're someplace in the middle. You know, and they're not as good as they played against New England, and certainly not as bad as they played last week. They're someplace in the middle, but where in the middle? Mm-hmm. You know, is it 11 win in the middle, or is it 9 win in the middle? And that's what we don't know yet. They are supremely talented at a few spots. You know, they are much better than we are at a couple of spots. That being said, I think our 11 are better than their 11. Mm-hmm. Now, where does that get you? I'm not sure. You know, people always say big players make big plays in big games. And this is, you know, this fits all that criteria. So, you know, if you're able to hold big play players down, you know they're going to get theirs. You know they're going to make some catches. But you cannot give up the big plays. And if we can do that, then, you know, I think it'll be a great finish, exciting ball game.
And I think, too, that we got to keep the crowd in it. I mean, I know that sounds cliche-ish and kind of corny, but if you look at when they played here last year, you know, we wasn't in the same boat, but everybody was picking the Texans to win the game. And all of a sudden, you know, we have a fake punt by Crunkenshank. Crunkenshank catches a touchdown, and the crowd is elated. Just imagine if something like that happens. You don't think the roof is going to tear off with people going crazy if we have a big play like that? So if we can keep the fans in and keep everybody excited, then now it gives that Tennessee Titans that extra boost to win this ball game.
And I think along those lines, I mean, the trick plays are going to – we're going to see them today.
Oh. I think we're going to see them on both sides.
Yeah, both sides. And I think it'll be a matter of can you anticipate it? You know, when can you expect it? Do you expect it? Mm-hmm. Are they giving you the look that you can run it? You know, all of those kinds of things. But I expect this game, if it stays according to Hoyle, to be, you know, a close game. And, you know, Billy O, he gets down inside the 30-yard line. I mean, you got to expect anything. And we're going to see some kind of a halfback pass or a throwback or, you know, a pass to Watson or whatever. And Vrabel will have some of those in his pocket, too. You know, it's a matter of when and if you can use them.
I'll say this. If they throw it back to Watson,
so, ooh,
go get him.
Go get him.
I mean, go get him. Like, if it's one of those jump balls up for the quarterback where a receiver makes a throw and it's not great and the DB has the choice of do I obliterate the quarterback or intercept the ball, go get the quarterback. That is the one guy who makes them tick, and I would say go get him. That takes us to third down.
Third down.
Some would call it starting slow. Some would call it being effective late. But the Titans, the last handful of weeks, have been a different team in the second half. In the first half, 21-21 against Oakland, very back and forth, 21-0 Titans. in the second half. Indianapolis gets a big lead, and the Titans pull away late in the fourth quarter. Even against Jacksonville, there was no score in that game with 7 minutes to go in the first half, and the Titans, on three plays in the second half, took a 21-point lead. Floyd, what do we make of how the Titans are starting slow and blowing up when they get to the second half? And today, against the Texans, how do they come out as hot as they've been in the second half in past games?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great trade, you know, and it's like the late games in the season. You know, people will say, well, the early games and the late games, you know, neither one of them carry more weight. Well, I disagree with that, because if you mess one up early, you've got 12 games to fix it. Mm-hmm. You mess one up week 16, you got no time to fix it. You're done. Mm-hmm. And so the later games get more important, just like the latter part of the game. You know, you come up with a play where you spring 7 points on them some way, somehow. If you do that in the first quarter, well, they got a lot of time to catch up to that 7 points. You do it with 30 seconds left in the game, they don't have much time. You know, it's maybe a game winner. So I think being able to put it all together forth, and those kinds of things are a belief thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you do it enough, you get to the point that you expect it, you want it, mm-hmm. you strive for it. It becomes a way of life. And when you get in the huddle and you say, okay, guys, we're going to take it down here and we're going to score and win this game, guys go, yep, you're right, let's yeah. go. Instead of, are you kidding me? Yeah. We've never, ever done that. What makes you think we're going to do it now?
You know, I think the Tennessee Titans, they definitely have to start fast. I mean, if you look at the Texans, if the Texans get on the roll, if you look at when they played against the Patriots, you see the confidence that was building in them when they were scoring and scoring and scoring and scoring. Everybody was playing well, from the offense to the defense to the special teams. And if the Tennessee Titans come out today and they start slow and give any momentum to the Texans are going to pour it on like they did exactly with the Patriots. So we can't allow the Tennessee Titans to start slow.
I think the Titans have got to find a way to not start slow they like can't. They did against the Colts and like they did against the Raiders. I mean, because it could be 24-3 Texans if you do that.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, the first half against Oakland, I mean, let's just be honest. The first half they played last week defensively, that'll get you beat today. You will lose today if you play the first half yeah. that you played defensively against the Raiders, because then Derrick Henry is gone, and all of a sudden, what are you going to do offensively? And the entire game then goes on Tannehill's shoulders to catch up. So they have got to start better than yeah. they've been starting. But they're at home, and those slow starts came on the road, although they were down 10-0 to Kansas City and somehow, some way, found a way to win, which I don't think any of us thought was going to be possible. And that takes us to the fourth and final down.
Fourth down.
How apropos that fourth down could come down to a big field goal attempt and Chris Sanders, Ryan Succop, 1-for-5 on the year. He missed his last attempt against the Raiders, his only attempt in that game, but good news for him, the Titans have been the best red zone team in the NFL since Tannehill took over at quarterback. But Chris, how yes. worried are you about this game coming down to a Ryan Succop kick and what we've seen from the once reliable Titan kicker?
Don't say that, man. I mean, you just broke my heart. I mean, yes, Succop has been struggling, but the way you solved that is score touchdowns. I mean, that's it. I mean, I know it's easier said than done.
I know, but it may come back today. It might come down to a kick.
I agree. It might come down to a kick, but Succop's just going to have to get past it mentally. I mean, it's just a mental thing. It's not that he's not capable of making the kick. He's just got a mental block right now. And that's the same thing with Vinatieri. Vinatieri has a mental block, and he's just not kicking well. If it comes down to a kick, we just got to cross our fingers and pray that he makes it. I mean, that's all you can do, because if you look at what he's been doing, he's been struggling. He's definitely been struggling, and if it comes down to that, then just like you said, I'm a little bit worried.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he's been struggling, and we've talked all week long about, you know, Jared wanted to bring guys in and this and that.
They did bring guys in.
Lord, he ain't the GM.
I know, yeah. And they brought
guys in.
You don't do that. You know, bring some guy in that you've had for 1 week in the biggest game of the year and say, go win it for us. You know, I mean, that's
oh my goodness.
That just doesn't happen. But, I mean, you know what? He's got to, let's face it, he's come through before. He's got to come through again. I mean, that's what you're counting on. You're counting on Derrick Henry coming through. You're counting on Tannehill coming through. Same thing with the kicker. He's got to come through exactly the same way.
You do know that you lost the Super Bowl because
thank you
guys
thank
cannot
you.
Kick. So I just
appreciate it. Appreciate
and at
it.
That point, I mean, Al Del Greco had a great career, and in 2000 he couldn't kick anymore, and gets into the playoffs.
No, could not kick. No, that was everybody's fault. That was my fault. It wasn't his fault, and he got a couple blocked. Why are you going to bring that up anyway, man?
Because I lived through that, and I just don't trust this kicker. That's why.
Wait a minute.
This kicker, he cannot kick. And I got to say about kicking is there's two things that come to it. Either you make it or you miss it. And this guy is missing too many kicks. So I'm with you. I hope Tannehill does the job today so that it doesn't come down to him kicking field goals. But if it does... let's all lock our arms on the sidelines and just hope that the ball goes through the upright.
But
I would
I'll
be
say
the guy.
This.
I would be the guy who would turn my back to it with that. I can't even watch him kick.
I'll
right
say
now.
This: you would do the same thing if whoever you think was kicking.
Exactly.
When you come to a game of this magnitude and it comes down to a kicker, when you see him lining up, you go, hey, you know, I mean, you're praying, everybody's capable of missing those.
I would say this. I lived through the Joe Nedney miss against the Steelers, and then he got the flag. Yeah. And I remember when Joe Nedney spun around and fell to the ground and missed the kick. And I remember the range of emotions from no good to then seeing the flag and then Nedney making the kick again. I mean, I just can't go through that today. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Titans' offense. The Texans' defense has been struggling. But they shut down Tom Brady. What can Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, and this revitalized Titans offense do against the Texans? We'll get into that coming up next. We are live from the George Jones, where the doors have opened and the Titans fans, Floyd, are pouring in here today. Live from the George Jones, it's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 2 hours to kick off Titans and Texans. And Floyd, if it is any sign here at the George Jones, the Titan fans that have poured in as they have opened up the George Jones are pumped for today's game. I mean, it's you can sense how excited everybody is. Titan blue everywhere for code blue. I mean, it feels, I'm telling you guys, see, you guys lived it. So it wasn't. You know, you guys were locked into the facility and focused on, you know, if this guy calls this play, what are we going to do? All that kind of stuff. I lived it as a fan. Mm-hmm. This feels like the old days. Ooh. The excitement about today's Texan game with so much on the line. It is now time to take a look at the offensive playbook presented by Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
We start with you.
Yes, sir.
The Houston Texans 2 weeks ago made Tom Brady look like a 55-year-old man, and last week they made Drew Lock look like he's headed to Canton. My question for you is, Tannehill, Henry, Brown, what's the game plan today against the Texans for the Titans offense to keep rolling?
You know, I don't even think it has to do with the Texans. I just think it has to do with the Tennessee Titans. They just need to keep doing exactly what they've been doing. I mean, if you look at Tannehill, he's been playing at an elite level. I mean, he's throwing ball to everybody. I even got a pass from him on the highway. I mean, it's like he threw it to Ferkser, Pruitt, Raymond, Smith, Blassingame, Davis. I mean, he's spreading the ball around and he's taking care of the football. Everybody know what Henry's doing. Henry's been playing outstanding. He's running the ball physical, making plays, converting third downs, doing what he's capable of doing. But the one person that I'm extremely impressed with is Arthur Smith. I mean, Arthur Smith has took a bad rap at the beginning of the season, but he brought some excitement back to this Tennessee Titans football team. I mean, look at what he's doing. I mean, he's throwing the ball on first down. He's throwing the ball in jumbo package. When's the last time we threw the ball in jumbo package? I mean, it just shows you that if they consistently keep doing what they're doing on first down and on third down and making plays each guy, then I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful.
Floyd, what do you make about the renaissance the Titans have had on offense, and today what Romeo Crennel and the Texans may try to do to stop
it? Yeah, I think Romeo and the Texans defense has taken a bad rap. You know, everybody's looking at the game from last week and saying that's who they are. That's not who they are. They are a much better defense than that, and their secondary is much better than we're giving them credit for. Mm-hmm. You know, given that, I think you have to go into a game like this, like I said, you've got to, you know, if you can come up with a big play or two, that's great. But you're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to be smart. you're going to have to not have penalties, not have turnovers, not because any little mistake in this game, you have one series that it looks like you've got good field position, let's say. You've got a chance to get points on the board, and you mess it up, that may be the game right there.
Yeah,
that's how big, you know, these kinds of games get. So I think they're going to have to be really, really – you know, this team, not just the offense, but this team, everybody that is a good player is going to have to play good. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody that's a so-so player is going to have to play better than they are. And that's the only way you can win games of this caliber.
And I think, too, if the O-line can do what they did last week, they gave up zero sacks and had a couple of penalties. If they can consistently play like they did last week, then it just makes the game more easier. Because you look at the beginning of the season, they were just getting destroyed. But if they can play physical and control the line of scrimmage, it opens it up in the running game and it opens up in the passing game.
All right.
What do we think about the way the Texans will try to match up the Titans today with the wide receivers, specifically A.J. Brown? Now, Derrick Henry's hamstring is going to be something everybody's watching for early on. And if Derrick Henry is the same Derrick Henry, or maybe not the same Derrick Henry, but an effective Derrick Henry, and the Texans are going to have to bring eight down into the box, they've got a very patchwork secondary. Gerrion Conley, they traded for this year. He'll return to the lineup today. Vernon Hargraves, they claimed from Tampa Bay. Lonnie Johnson Jr. is a rookie. Then they've got Bradley Roby from Denver, who's probably their best corner. It's a weird secondary that's kind of been put together on the fly. Floyd, how do you think Romeo will try to match them up as far as A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and that crew is concerned?
I mean, I don't think they'll do anything special. I think they'll just go out there and line them up, and, you know, however we want the matchups, they're going to feel – I don't want to say good, but okay about the matchups that they have. You know, I'm not sure. There is no Fuller on our team. You know, there is no Stills on our team. And consequently, you can go out there and you can play your coverages, do the things that you want to do from a secondary standpoint, and know that, you know, as long as it's not a safety blitz or zero blitz, or, you know, but if you're playing coverage, whether it's man or zone, you keep a safety or keep two, you know, and two man kind of a look, then they're going to have a chance to cover our guys. And so I hope that the offensive line, I think Chris hit this a minute ago, the offensive line plays well enough to really diminish the pass rush. Not that they're the rushing team that they've been, because they aren't. But if we can diminish that and Ryan has enough time to throw the ball the way he wants to, then I think we got a chance to break through.
I think they're going to do exactly what they did against the Patriots. I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking, I was just kind of thinking back to that Patriot game.
Yeah. That's what I mean, because what they did is they pressured the quarterback, and then now you don't have to protect that long and on the backside. So I just think that they're going to use that same tactic by letting their front put pressure up front, and then you don't really have to cover in the backside because, you know, the quarterback's on his back.
I look at the Texans' defense, Floyd, kind of in three waves. I think the defensive line is not what it used to be.
Right.
With Watt and Clowney both gone, and Merciless is still there, but even he's been battling through injuries. There, if you look at their defensive line, Brandon Dunn, who went to Louisville, best college in America, Brandon Dunn, DJ Reader, Angelo Blackson, who got cut here when John Robinson took over, and Whitney Merciless. Their defensive line is not what it used to be. Their secondary, we talked about, names you know because they were drafted in the first round, but names that other teams couldn't wait to get rid of, Vernon Hargraves and Gerrion Conley, etc. It's the linebackers for the Texans, I feel like, that could make the difference today. Zach Cunningham from Vanderbilt, Bernardrick McKinney, and so on and so forth. I feel like those are the guys that I would worry about if I'm the Titans, are kind of the second-level guys, the linebackers for the Texans, because their D-line and their secondary just doesn't seem to be all that strong.
Well, again, I would agree with the D-line. I think we're undervaluing their secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Their secondary is better than we want to give them credit for, and as a matter of fact, shut down New England. So I think I think they're underappreciated, undervalued. That being said, are they outstanding? No, they're not. I mean, we've played better secondaries. And so I think we have to go out there. I mean, in a game of this magnitude, the two areas that always dominate games of this magnitude on defense are is the front end and the back end. Because that's where all the big plays are going to come. You know, you're going to get the strip sacks. You're going to get the sacks. You're going to get those kinds of things from the front. And, you know, the errant throw or the super play on defense in the back end kind of, you know, helps you out. So, I you know, if we can get some kind of pressure up front, some kind of pressure, then, you know, we'll be a step ahead of them, and that's – that's where we'll want to be, and maybe that's the difference. Who knows?
Chris, what do we think about Henry today as far as early what we need to see out of Derrick Henry to force the Texans to be uncomfortable?
I mean, he just got to keep doing what he's doing and keep the chains moving. I mean, if you look at the last couple of games, he's been running with the chip on his shoulder. I know we're concerned about his hamstring. I know we're concerned if he can finish the whole game. But if Henry can start fast and really keep the chains moving, I'm telling you, the Tennessee Titans, the ball will be definitely in their court.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't think there's any doubt. It's going to be interesting to see how they use him. I would imagine the Vandy kid will get a little bit of a look, much more than he would expect or that we would expect. And he's going to have to get in there, and he's going to have to spell Derek. And who knows? You know, we've seen all year long where these guys that, you know. Who's that? Well, you know, was he on our team? I didn't even know. I mean, he just got a touchdown. You know, those kinds of things. Maybe he can pull it out.
Chris Sanders, what do you think Romeo Crennel does today for A.J. Brown? A.J. Brown, with a 100-yard game today, can become the franchise's first rookie.
Stop that right there. Stop that right there.
Since Ernest Givens in 1986. That was he's well, I mean, he's still a couple touchdowns away from your record. Still, as far as 100-yard games, what do you think Romeo Crennel does to try to stop A.J. Brown?
I mean, he's definitely going to stop A.J. Brown because A.J. Brown is playing consistent football, just like what you said last week. He, 5 for 153, so you got to pay attention to him. But I think for Crennel, I think he's going to do exactly what he does all the time. He's going to bring pressure and make sure those guys cover on the outside. So I don't think they're going to double him as much as we think they're going to double him. They're just the defense is going to do exactly what they did to get him to this point. Put pressure on the quarterback, let the quarterback make mistakes, and play cover one or cover three on the backside.
Am I the only one who thinks this is going to be a big game for Corey Davis? That they're going to need him to step up because now A.J. is going to get the number one wide receiver treatment.
I understand what you're saying, that he has to step up. But I know you hate when I say this, but he's still got to get opportunities. I mean, how many opportunities did he get last week? What, three? And how many catches did he catch last week? Three.
How many opportunities is A.J. getting? A.J. gets opportunities, runs 91 yards with it. Corey, I mean.
Floyd, help me out, please.
He can't. He's on this.
Oh, come on. You're on Corey Davis' butt, too.
He's on this A.J. thing, and he's blinded by everything else.
Hold on. Wait. Blinded by 91-yard touchdowns.
Again, and I've said this all week long. You double the guys that what?
Run
fast.
Yes.
Those are the guys you take away. It's like we're going into a game with one of the true elite receivers in the game in Hopkins. Mm-hmm. I mean, not good, not really good, elite.
Maybe the best in the league.
Maybe the best in the league. And who's everybody talking about?
Fuller.
Why? Because he can run.
He can run.
And still can run. And they know that. Those guys blow games apart. Not taking anything away from Hopkins.
Yeah.
But Hopkins is not a speed guy. He is everything else. You know, he's fantastic at what he does. And I'm not taking anything away from him. And we're going to have to do a good job on him, but he's going to get his.
Yeah.
You know, we just want him to get his six catches for 60 yards. You know, not six catches for 600 yards. And I think that's what scares you about those other guys. Mm-hmm. It alters your coverage. It alters everything you do, which opens it up for the tight end and for Hopkins and a running back. And all of those guys then become factors. just simply because those other guys are lining up.
Yeah.
You know, Brown doesn't do that to you. You don't look at Brown and say, we can't run with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, you're saying, okay, get on him. He's really strong. And if he catches the ball, you better tackle him because he turns into a running back instantly. And so, you know that you have to do those things, but you don't have to say, okay, he's out there, back up two steps, you know, kind of thing.
I mean, what do we think about what Corey Davis has to do today?
I mean, Corey, he's going to have to make plays, but it goes back to he's got to get opportunities. Give him a slant, give him a go route early, and let him get a feel of the game. I mean, you can't catch the ball if you're not getting that opportunities. And it's not that Corey's not getting open. It's just that Tannehill is spreading the ball around to everybody. I mean, look at the tight ends that caught the ball. Pruitt, one for, I think, 39. Then you got, guys that I ain't never heard of, Blasting Game. I mean, I thought they was cussing at me on the radio when they said his name. But the thing about it is he's spreading the ball around, and everybody consistently is making plays. So for Davis, he's just got to stay patient because that one play may have the Tennessee Titans winning or the Tennessee Titans losing.
And one of the areas that we might have a chance to have an edge is all these corners that we're talking about are good corners. But they're not big, strong guys.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They're smaller guys. And because of that, a guy like Corey Davis and even A.J. Brown, because he is so strong with the ball, those guys become a little bit more of a factor maybe because they're so physical. Mm-hmm. And that might be an edge at points in time. Either you break a tackle or you're able to jump up and go get the ball and take it away from those guys that aren't quite as big.
Coming up next, Watson, Hopkins, Duke Johnson Jr., Fells, Kamar Akins, Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, Carlos Hyde. Big names for the Texans. What are the Titans going to do to slow them down? We'll take a look at the defensive keys presented by Boomboss Craft Pizza and Tap House. We're live at the George Jones. It is the pregame show. Titans and Texans. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Dean Pease and the Titans defense had two games last year against the Texans. They were fantastic in week two last year against Deshaun Watson, shutting him down. Now, Watson did have two touchdowns, but did not blow the game apart. And then later in the year, maybe one of the worst defensive performances of the season from the Titans against the Houston Texans. Floyd, we know the names for the Texans. Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, Darren Fells, Kamar Akins, Duke Johnson Jr., Carlos Hyde. We know all the names for the Texans. No Adoree Jackson today for the Titans. We don't know yet about the status of Kenny Vaccaro. Did he get out of the concussion protocol? Floyd, how do the Titans keep Watson from taking over today's football game? Maybe the single biggest question of today's game.
Yeah, I mean, you aren't going to be able to stop them. I mean, we know that. This will have to be the most complete game this defense maybe has played in I don't know how long, because you're going to have to do everything well. Mm-hmm. We're going to be a little bit limited in the back end. We know that. You've heard me complain about the pass rush for the last few weeks, and that truly concerns me. If you can't get pass rush, you can't play zone against this team.
No, sir.
You can't play man against this team because of the guys you're going to have to cover. So, I mean, you are in a bind just about every place you turn. Given that, they're going to have to go out there. They're going to have to be really smart with the calls. Mm-hmm. When it's time to take a chance, they're going to have to take a chance, and it's got to work. You know, this can't be I'm not sure. Let's go ahead and try this. No, it's got to be, this is the perfect time to try this and go from that standpoint. But the truth is, I mean, our defense is going to have to play, in spite of how well they've played from game to game. They talk about 60 minutes of playing great ball. This is going to have to be it. And we're not going to be able to give up those, 40-yard runs we've seen. We're not going to be able to give up a touchdown because of a blown coverage. We're not going to be able to get a, 60-yard pass interference penalty on Fuller or Still. We're not going to be able to do those things and survive it. I mean, this offense is just, it's too well-rounded. The part that is the worst part of the offense is the offensive line.
Yeah.
But the question is, how much you know, what are they going to have to do? If you can just protect long enough for him to, for Watson to get on the edge or get the ball out of his hands, now you're having to track that group of receivers. So it's tough. This is tough duty today now.
Chris, yeah, how do you match up these receivers?
I don't know. I mean, I know the receivers are good. You got Stills, you got Hopkins, and you got Kiki. I think it starts with Watson. And the reason why I say it starts with Watson is because, you know, he's one of those quarterbacks that extends the play. And I said a little bit earlier, when he extends the play, that defense has got to be play disciplined football. If they're standing cover two or cover three, stay in there. Don't start to chase Watson, because if he extends the play, next you know, he throws the ball, you know, over your head. So I think if we can do that and also get a little bit of pass rush, just like what Floyd Reese was talking about, if we get some pass rush and make Watson feel uncomfortable in the pocket, don't let him sit back there and relax and eat a sandwich and, you know, do all this and throw the ball. We got to put pressure on him to make mistakes. And if he sits back there and just picks us off, it's going to be a long day, and the receivers are going to get
But they haven't been able to get pressure in the first half against any of these quarterbacks
that's the
last
thing
couple
that concerns
of weeks.
Me.
I mean, they didn't get pressure on Brissett in the first half in Indianapolis, and he did what he wanted to do. Right. And, I mean, we remember his cast that day. Mm-hmm. It was Zach Pascal and Marcus Johnson. It wasn't DeAndre Hopkins, right, and Will Fuller and Kenny Stills. And the Titans didn't get any pressure on Carr last week. I mean, Carr did whatever he wanted to do in the first half.
But yeah,
that is what scares me going into this football game. And your best blitzer, Logan Ryan, is probably your healthiest corner. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to probably put him on DeAndre Hopkins today.
I mean, you are. But even if they do cover the receivers and they don't play discipline ball all around, then all of a sudden Watson's going to use his legs. So what do you do? You just got to play disciplined football. And I know that's kind of a lot of coach talk. But if they play disciplined football, when I say it, if you're in cover two, stay in cover two. If he sits back there, let him throw the pass, come up, make the tackle. That's what you got to do. But if you start snooping your nose down and you think that he's going to run, then all of a sudden the receiver gets behind you, he throws the ball, and all of a sudden you have an explosive play.
And that gets back to the pass rush we were talking about, which is we all know what we need to do against Watson, which is you've got to keep him in the pocket.
Yeah.
Keep him in the pocket. Force him to throw on time. That's when he's his worst. And if you can do that, you're going to have a chance. But can we do it? I don't know. You know, do we have the pass rush to force him to do that? I don't know. And if we're playing zone coverage in the back end because you're afraid of the speed or the matchups or whatever the case may be, well, the ball's going to come out before you can get there, which means it's going to be a completion, which means they keep going. That's why I say this is going to be such a chess match. I mean, this is going to be such a, you know, we got to hit over here, we got to try this, we got to, you know, it's time. And yet, you know, whenever you do it, you're literally going to hold your breath.
Yep, and Dean Pease has to really, really be smart. And I know he's a smart coordinator, but you got to make sure you blitz at the right time. Because if you send a corner in the boundary and all of a sudden it's off of Hopkins and he catches a slant, I mean, he's even more dangerous run after the catch. So yeah, he just has to be smart when he blitzes, when he wants to put pressure on the quarterback. It's okay if they get a 6 and 7 yard pass completion, come by and make a tackle, but it's dangerous if they throw one over the top of your head if you're not playing disciplined football.
And these receivers, Watson, of course, and the receivers force you to stay in cover. You know, you think, okay, it's 4 seconds, it's 5 seconds, I've been in coverage, I can chill. There is no chill this
no.
game. You're going to have to chase these guys to the restroom if that's where they're headed.
Well,
because if you don't, he will move around, find one of them open, and then you're done.
I think there's going to be a lot of responsibility on the big guys up front. And really, the guy I'm circling is Jeffrey Simmons. Because we were told when they drafted Simmons, hey, the reason they took this guy is he is a game wrecker. And we knew he was going to take some time coming back from the ACL. Well, he's been here for about a month and a half now. I mean, they need Simmons today to make an impact on that defensive line. Simmons and Casey, yeah, you know, to make an impact on the defensive line. And let's not forget something we haven't talked about at all. And that is the two running backs they have. Duke,
yeah,
Johnson,
no
out
doubt,
of the backfield is going to be a problem. And Carlos Hyde's got about 1,000 yards rushing this year.
And I mean, you're exactly right. We have we pretend, or people talk about this team like they don't have a running game. And they've got, you know, Hyde is right at 1,000 yards. And the other kid, I mean, is a really talented receiver. Mm-hmm. Really talented receiver. And I'm sure they're going to put him in a position where Deshaun is always going to have the ability to get the ball to him as some kind of a check down or, you know, a swing or a flat or a something, because he will catch it. And when he catches it, he runs really well with it. So, I mean, they have their hands full. Yeah.
And I agree with you too, Jared. Simmons got to show up today. I mean, he has to. And, you know, Floyd was talking about him, you know, a couple of weeks ago that he's been non-existent. I agree with you 100%. But I think he's still trying to find the speed of the game. And that's why it's so important that when you're out of camp and you're unable to perform and all of a sudden you're put in that position, you're still trying to feel and understand the game. And I think that's what's happening now. That's why he's not showing up.
What do we think of the Texans' offensive line?
It's a little bit of a work in progress. I mean, Tunsil they brought in and is getting better, except for the penalties that we talked about. And that, you know, if the crowd is in fact there and if the crowd is in fact loud and it is outside and maybe there's a little wind and all those things, then maybe he gets jittery. But they're a work in progress. You know, the thing that is so different about them is, and Tannehill can do this to a certain extent, but when Watson gets on the edge and he's running the ball, I mean, it truly is scary because he has such a knack for finding those guys downfield.
We are live today at the George Jones. Again, the pregame show until 11:30. Titans and Texans coming up in an hour and a half, and an hour and a half before kickoff. Floyd Reese means what?
Inactives.
We got the inactives coming up next. Some big names for the Titans, a big name for the Texans. We'll get to that coming up. Jared, the GM, Chris Sanders, live from the George Jones. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5, the game.
102.5, the game.
Titans and Texans an hour and a half away at Nissan Stadium. We are live at the George Jones. A good sight to see, Floyd. I have not seen a single Texan fan so far today. It is, though, time now to take a look at the inactives. Who's in, who's out? We start with the Texans. Out today for the Texans, wide receiver Stephen Mitchell Jr., safety Mike Adams, corner Cornell Armstrong, running back Tywan Jones, defensive end Joel Heath, nose tackle Eddie Vanderrodes, and wide receiver Kiki Kuti. Now, Kuti was essentially their fourth receiver, but Kuti has had a bunch of big games in his career, so a little surprising to see Kiki Kuti inactive, but that does mean that today for the Texans, Will Fuller V is active and will play today against the Titans.
Can we make a swap?
I know, that's what I was thinking.
Let's trade those two. I'll feel much better.
I don't think he's going to last.
Fuller?
No, I don't think he's going to last. And me and Floyd was kind of talking about this off the air. If you're a running back, you maybe can – you know, hang to the fourth quarter. But when you're a wide receiver and you have a hamstring.
And you're a speed receiver.
And you're a speed guy. That thing could pop at any time. So he's not going to be a factor. Does that make you feel better?
Meanwhile, out today for the Titans, corner Adoree Jackson, wide receiver Adam Humphries, offensive lineman Kevin Pamphile. Why is he on the team? They got two guys on the team, Pamphile and Matt Dickerson. And I feel like they would put me in the game before they put in Pamphile or Matt Dickerson.
Nah, I put him in first.
Jackson, Humphries, Pamphile. I mean, he was supposed to be a starter. Pamphile, Bates, Matt Dickerson's inactive again, Sharif Finch, and Isaiah Mack. The Titans did call up Joey Ivey off the practice squad they let Kareem Orr go yesterday, a defensive lineman. So it looks like Joey Ivey off the practice squad will get the nod ahead of Isaiah Mack and Matt Dickerson on defensive line, which again takes me to my point of why is Matt Dickerson even on the team. Now, that does mean that Kenny Vaccaro is active today. He had a concussion in the Oakland game, did practice throughout the week. He's obviously out of the concussion protocol, and he will go. And LaShawn Sims, who's missed the previous two games with an ankle injury, LaShawn Sims will go today for the Titans as well. Floyd, how do you see Sims plugging in there against the Texans, and how big is that to get both him and Vaccaro back for today?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to help. I think that's probably just about what we would have anticipated the activations to be, you know, and really maybe even for the Texans. I mean, I'm not sure there are any great surprises there. So, you know, we've got to go in there, and Sims helps and Vaccaro's helps. All those guys help, but I'm going to tell you what, we've got our hands full here. So it's going to be – it'll be exciting.
I mean, I'm glad Sims is there, but he better get his track shoes on. It's going to be a track meet, but it helps.
So
but,
now that we know who's in and who's out, mm-hmm. and when the Texans go to three receivers, when they have Hopkins, Fuller, and Stills on the field, how do you match them up? How do you go if you're going to go with guys on them? Who do you double? Who do you – like, do you put Logan on Hopkins and you just leave Logan with Hopkins? Where – how do you
– You don't have enough people.
You don't.
That's my point. I mean, that's why this is going to be so tricky. You don't have enough people. And if you find a way to get enough people, you're in such man-for-man coverage now. If Deshaun breaks the pocket, it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
So you can't – I mean, you've got to be really, really smart and really careful – about how you do that, because you don't have, you can't, nobody we have on the field can cover Fuller man for man.
We
if he's running. I'm not sure we have anybody that can cover Stills.
No.
If he's running. So, you know, there you are, and we know what Hopkins is. So, you know, you can't double them all.
Yeah.
And so you end up with, I mean, it's going to be, the guys that are out there, they're going to have to play better than maybe they are, but they're going to have to, you know, as long as we don't make dumb mistakes, you're going to still give yourself a chance, because they're going to catch them. We know that. They're going to catch some balls, and Deshaun's going to put it on them, and they're all of that kind of stuff. We understand that. But don't let give up the big play. Don't, you know, blow a coverage and have them, because Billy O, one of the things he's really good at, is he'll find a way to get a mismatch.
Mm-hmm.
He'll find a way to get his, you know, the guy he thinks is his best guy on your worst cover guy.
Mm-hmm.
That will happen. And what you have to make sure happen, you know, is that you don't, you know, give up the 70-yarder. Let him catch it for 15. Make the tackle. Okay, good. Let's go to the next down.
Zone.
They're the worst zone team in the league.
Okay. And the reason why I say this, the reason why I say zone, and when I say zone, play a cover two. If you play a cover two and then drop your linebackers just a little bit and do that, because if you go, say if you go cover one is a deep safety and man-to-man across the board, you still have the potential of giving up the big play. If you go cover two, they have to work their way down the field, and you don't want to have that explosive play that Floyd Reese is talking about, because if you go man-to-man, who's going to cover Stills? Who's going to cover Hopkins? Who's going to cover all those receivers that they have? I'm not saying they can't. Okay, let me rephrase that again. They can't. But don't – I agree with Floyd. Don't give up the stupid play. Don't give up the big play. Let them earn their plays, as opposed to one play, 75 yards.
So my thing on that is I agree. The Texan offense, I mean, we saw this a lot last year. This year, especially in the first half lately, the Titan defense hasn't been as stingy in the red zone as they used to be, but they've gotten a little bit better as the season's gone on. Mm-hmm. I think this comes down to who kicks field goals and who scores touchdowns.
See.
You know, I mean, that's where if you can keep the Texans to kicking field goals, and then Tannehill and your offense that has been on fire since he's taken over as quarterback can go down the field on a Texan defense that a lot of people think is kind of suspect. If Tannehill can take them down and score touchdowns, that's probably the name of the game today. Because they're not going to be able to stop all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
The key with the Fullers and the Stills are you just can't let them beat you deep for touchdowns. And they've done that a lot against the Titans. I mean, Kenny Stills beat Malcolm Butler on a beautiful deep ball thrown by Ryan Tannehill last year in Miami. I mean, Stills is a big play guy. So as long as you keep them, they're going to complete the ball. But just keep them down to about the 27-yard line, the 16-yard line, and just don't let them get into the end zone. But against the Colts early and against the Raiders early, the Titans' defense was awful in the red zone.
I mean, oh, go ahead, Floyd.
I started to say, yeah, I think the biggest difference was, and we saw it more last week especially, was we weren't able to stop them at the 27 or the 30. They were on the 3, you know, and you get down to the 3, and if you don't get in, then, you know, you're really struggling. So, I mean, if we can keep them at bay – and do what we know. What do we normally do? You know, between the 30s, they're going to move the ball now. They're going to. But once you get to the 30, now things start to change. Now all of a sudden, you know, you don't have to worry about them going 75 because there's not 75 for them to cover. Can you cover them for 25? Yeah, I can. Okay, cool. Then that's what we'll do. But again, they're gonna, you know, they're gonna get theirs in the middle of the field, and that's kind of the way we played and made it work.
Do you spy Watson today?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you actually spy him every snap, but you certainly are scared to death he's going to play. If you're playing man for man.
Jayon Brown?
If you're playing man for man, he can't catch him. I mean, we don't have anybody who can catch him probably. But if you are going to play man for man in the front, yeah, you got to spy him some way, somehow.
615. I almost gave out the phone number. I don't know, what am I doing over here? We're not taking phone calls. But we are going to talk to Teron Davenport coming up next. How does Derrick Henry look in warmups? TD is on the field at Nissan Stadium. We will check in with Teron Davenport. What's the latest on Henry? We'll get to that next. We are live from the George Jones. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared, the GM, Chris Sanders, live at the George Jones. The big matchup, first place on the line, Titans, Texans, and we go right over to Nissan Stadium where Teron Davenport, ESPN.com, is standing by. TD, you know the first question I'm going to ask you. How does Derrick Henry look on the field so far?
Well, I can't give you that answer because he doesn't warm up out here. He gets his work done inside, so I can't tell you that, but I will say I don't think it's going to be an issue. I mean, he got treadmill work all week, and I think he's going to be good to go, man. He said it on Thursday that there was no doubt he was playing, so he'll be fine.
How much did you read into him going to the locker room at halftime of the Oakland game, him with the wrap on his hamstring, him not practicing? How much did you read into that about how much that hamstring is bothering him, and how much of it did you think was just preventative from Vrabel and Henry?
Well, to be honest with you, having been in that situation before, I thought he was going into the locker room earlier to use the bathroom, man. That's just me telling you what I thought. But I don't think it was that big of a deal. And, you know, with it being a hamstring, I think really all he did was just go in to get some early treatment to kind of get on top of it. I don't think it's a huge issue.
Did you, TD, get a chance to see Will Fuller not only just warm up, but stride it out a little bit, put a little something in?
Yeah, I saw him. He just primarily was just, like you said, striding it out, like, you know, not going full speed, but just testing to see how it feels. So, you know, we'll see what happens with it. But like I said, with those track guys, those speedy guys like that, the hamstring is always a big-time thing to be concerned about with those type of guys. And it's a little chilly in here, too. So we'll see what happens.
Is there anything, is there wind or rain, anything that might affect a dome team coming out to play in the elements?
There isn't any wind, but I will say the field itself is kind of moist. So that could affect the ball could get a little slippery and those type of things. But this wouldn't be the first time Watson has played outside. So I think those guys would be fine. I don't think there's really any advantage to the Titans, you know, because of what we have going on here. But there's no wind, I'll say that. But there's definitely a chill in the air.
Just looking at this Texans offense, everything runs through Watson. What do you think Dean Pease needs to do to really maintain? You're not going to stop Watson, but maintain, you know, Watson from making those plays.
Yeah, I think the huge thing in this case is to have that tiered pass rush, right? Your guys coming off the edge, they have to be very disciplined and make sure that they don't run past Watson, you know, and it's kind of like, I've said it before, it's like when you watch National Geographic and the lions are hunting the gazelles, right? You got one to kind of flush them out, and then the one that's waiting to pounce on them. And I think that's kind of the attack you have to have. You have to marry that outside pass rush with the pocket being collapsed. And how do you do that with Jeffrey Simmons, you know, with Jarrell Casey? Those guys are going to be huge. And I would mix in a blitz every once in a while, too. You know, I'll blitz the safeties or even, you know, send your linebacker, send Evans on that A-gap. So that's the way I would attack it. And it's huge keeping that guy from getting off schedule, right? Because, you know, you could double-team Hopkins and, you know, try to stop him on that out or that, on that post route. And you could do that expecting that to happen. But when it goes off schedule and he breaks that route off and he and Watson are on the same page in the QB scramble, that's when it really gets dangerous. And you see them having a lot of big plays that way. So Watson and Hopkins, man, on that QB scramble, it's definitely something that they have to be aware of.
And yet with a banged-up secondary, how in the world is this secondary going to really stop the receivers that these Texans have?
Yeah, that's a question I'm glad I don't have to answer, right? And you put that one on Dean Pease. Really, the whole thing, I think this is a week where the front end has to really help the back end. So that being said, they got to get that pressure, man. They got to get pressure on Watson, and they got to get home, you know. And the DBs, they have to do everything they can to plaster. That's the key, you know what I mean? So we'll see what happens there. It's going to be a tough assignment, that's for sure, especially with Kenny Stills in the mix also.
TD Teron Davenport with his last question for you. Ryan Succop kicking field goals. Has he been out of the field?
Sorry about that.
You're all good. Has Ryan Succop been attempting field goals so far today, and how has he looked so far in warm-ups? A big concern for fans going into today.
Yeah, he attempted a couple field goals. He's looked fine. Right now, Santoso is out there. They're actually both kicking. Santoso was just good from about 47 yards out. You know what I mean? And now Succop is taking his shot, and that one's good, too. He has some good drive on it, too. So here's the thing, man. If it comes down to a long field goal, I think Santoso is the guy that they need to have out there attempting it.
TD Teron Davenport, as always, we look forward to your breakdowns, ESPN.com, and all throughout the week right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, of course, Chase and TD next Friday. TD, we'll see you later.
Yes, sir. Talk to you.
Teron Davenport, ESPN.com. Floyd, you asked a really important question that I had been thinking about to TD, and that is the outside conditions in the cold today for a dome team who practices in Houston for Watson, those receivers, and more.
Yeah, I mean, it's when we were a dome team, which we were for a number of years.
In Houston.
When you went outside, you know, the elements could be a factor. And sometimes they were, it sounds like Terry Porch got the memo about keeping the field wet, which helps a little bit. I mean, anything you can do to slow this group down, yeah. I'm all for.
Did you see his excitement when TD said the field was a little moist? Ooh, good. Ooh, wow.
But that affects both teams. I mean, because the pass rush is not going to be as, you know, intense because guys are not going to get a good push-up. So it's going to affect both teams.
So as a speed wide receiver, yeah. Which you were in the league, and you played in Houston for two seasons before you made the move to Tennessee, what do you think for Fuller and Stills in colder weather than they're used to, trying to get down the field, and as TD brought up, the field being a little moist.
If you're fast, you're fast. I mean, it don't matter if it's cold. It don't matter if it's warm. If you're fast, you're fast. Because Fuller, it don't matter if it's raining, snowing. If you're a 4.3, 4.2 guy, you're still fast. It don't matter if it's cold. I mean, and I know I'm being funny, but on the perimeter, it really doesn't make a difference because Fuller's a straight line guy that can take the top off the defense. If he's running a little slower and it's cold, you don't think the defensive back guys are running even slower? So that means he's still faster than the defensive back.
Well, when you said if you're fast, you're fast. I'm thinking to myself, if you're slow.
You're slow.
You're slow. And unfortunately, that seems to be the problem the Titans have, especially when you're comparing to Kenny Stills and Will Fuller. You heard TD say there at the end, if he thinks it comes down to a long field goal, he thinks we'll see Santoso out there instead of Ryan Succop, or as Mike Vrabel calls Santoso, Big Ryan. So they have, I guess, Ryan and Big Ryan. So maybe Big Ryan goes out there for a kick. Floyd, we've never seen this guy kick a field goal in his life. If it comes down to Santoso for a deep field goal, how do you feel on that one?
Oh, how do you think I feel?
Terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to see that guy step on the field. But, I mean, if it's got to happen, it's got to happen, I guess. I mean, I'd strongly consider going for it. Rather than have some guy kick a field goal I've never seen kick a field goal.
Two point Texan lead, two seconds to go. Ball is at the 37-yard line.
Going for it. I'm going for it.
Who do you bring out to kick?
How long is the field goal?
So the ball's at the 37, so you're talking about, what, 8 for the field goal and then 10?
52.
So 52?
Yeah.
I'd let Sekup kick it.
I would too.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I mean, you never seen Santos kick before in the game.
Now, if Santos is the guy they did, this is Santoso. This
oh, Santos, yeah, okay. They still the same.
I mean, they might. They might be. Yeah, I mean, I don't. I could not tell you. Coming up next, our clicks to pick for our picks to click.
You okay?
Our picks to click for today's game. Who do the Titans need to click for a victory? Who will click today for the Titans to get the victory at home against the Texans? We'll get to that coming up next, as well as Mike Vrabel's keys to the game, our keys to the game, and, of course, game day picks and much, much more. Live from the George Jones, Titans and Texans, it's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 1 hour to kick off between the Titans and the Texans, an AFC South showdown. CBS just kicked off their pregame show with Deshaun Watson and Ryan Tannehill as their top story today for the Titans and the Texans, an AFC South showdown with both teams coming in at 8-5. First place on the line. They'll play two out of the last 3 weeks. Before we get to our picks to click, presented by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. Why are you so...
I'm just happy, man. I'm happy to be with you, man.
Big smile from Chris Sanders. Before we get to our picks to click, in and out, in for the Titans today, running back Derrick Henry, safety Kenny Vaccaro, and corner LaShawn Sims are all in and active. Out, Adoree Jackson and Adam Humphries. In for the Texans, Will Fuller the fifth. So Fuller is in, Henry is in, Vaccaro is in, Sims is in. Big, big week upcoming for the Titans. It is time now for our picks to click, powered by Wholesaling, powered by RumbleOn.com. Last week, Chris Sanders went with Corey Davis, who caught one football, and Kevin Byard was his defensive pick to click. Floyd Reese went with the tackles, Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin. I have no idea how they played. I guess they played well.
No sacks.
Harold Landry was his defensive pick to click.
Got a sack.
And yours truly went with Derrick Henry as his pick to click, and Kenny Vaccaro, who got knocked out with a concussion in the game on Sunday. So it is time now for our picks to click. Chris Sanders,
yes,
we start with you. Who is your offensive pick to click today for the Titans?
I'm going to reach, really, really reach. I'm going with Raymond.
Ooh.
And the reason why I'm saying Raymond is because everybody's going to pay attention to A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith. And he can kind of make a play like what he did against the Colts when nobody's expecting him to make a play, and he's going to make a play to win the game for the Tennessee Titans.
Khalif Raymond. Now, I'll say this. That is one that takes, as my people would say, some chutzpah, that if it hits, I will give full marks to Chris. Even though when I first picked A.J. Brown and he blew up against Atlanta, you guys didn't want to give me any credit. I will give Chris
thank you, sir,
all the credit in the world if Khalif Raymond hits.
Thank you, sir.
As his pick to click defensively, who's your pick?
I'm going with Casey. We got to pressure the quarterback. We got to make Watson feel uncomfortable in the pocket. Casey has to have a Pro Bowl day. And if he has a Pro Bowl day and sack the quarterback and put pressure on him, now we're looking at a Tennessee Titans victory.
Floyd, is it possible for Jarrell Casey to have a Pro Bowl day out there? Or does it feel like his Pro Bowl days may be behind him right now?
Well, today we may find out. Today may be the telltale. He's been quiet to date. You know, he's got a sack, a game or two ago, actually rushing from the defensive end position. So, you know, maybe they're moving him around a little bit more than they need to. But today he just needs to be, you know, in a spot and let him go.
Floyd, your picks to click today. We start on offense.
Offense, I'm going to go with Jonnu Smith.
Whoa.
And I'm going with him for the same reason that Chris went with Raymond.
Ooh,
I think they're going to, you know, they're going to try to lock down some of those other guys and make sure they don't care. And I think the middle of the field and maybe some of the seams will be open for him. And Tannehill likes throwing the ball to him. Let's hope he can make some plays.
Jonnu had a huge 61-yard touchdown last year against the Texans. They got the Titans started, and I think it was a ball where he just sat down in a zone, caught it, turned around, and ran all the way into the end zone for a touchdown against the Texans in their second meeting last year. Floyd, who's your defensive pick to play?
Defense, I was actually going to go with Casey too, but I'll go with Simmons. Mm-hmm. I mean, the truth being, it's going to have to be one of the pass rush guys. I mean, we're going to – and Landry, I think, is the obvious easy one, so I didn't want to go there. But Simmons, it's time for him to show, you know. And, I mean, you know, you can end up with a couple of sacks, and that would be fantastic. But more importantly, he's got to get pressure. He's got to consistently be back in Watson's face.
I like Jeffrey Simmons as a pick to click. I mean, it's time for Jeffrey Simmons to show up and do something. For me, I'm going with an obvious choice on offense. Ryan Tannehill. I think this is going to be a showdown game.
You're not going to really count. If this happens, on, you're not going to count this as a win.
You can't.
If he throws for like 400 yards and outduels Deshaun Watson. I think this is going to be a duel game. I mean, it just doesn't feel like there are answers for the Titans on defense to slow down the Texans consistently, which means it's going to be a shootout between two guns of the old West. And we know what Deshaun Watson can do. And we know the kind of player Deshaun Watson is. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill today. And the one thing that I can say about Tannehill is that he has really put the ball wherever he thinks it's open. It doesn't matter who the receiver is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if it's Davis or Brown or Smith or Humphreys when he was in there or Tajay Sharp or Raymond or whomever, Firkser. It doesn't matter to him. He will throw the ball there. Today, he's got to do that in order to keep up with what the Deshaun Watson and the Texans are going to be able to do, especially with Derrick Henry out today. I mean, excuse me, not out today, but Derrick Henry slowed down today. If Derrick is not the Derrick that we've seen for most of this year, that puts more pressure on Tannehill's shoulders. The ball's going to have to come out early because we know Romeo Crennel is going to try to take advantage of the Titans' offensive line. So I think there's going to be a lot today on Tannehill's shoulders, even more than normal because of how explosive the Texans' offense can be.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, yeah. I mean, come on, man. You got to pick somebody other than Tannehill.
On defense, he's going with Logan Ryan.
Logan Ryan, come on. That has
25
interceptions and five fumbles.
And
come
I was
going
to go with Logan Ryan, but I'm not. I'm going with Kamale Correa. Oh. Here's why I'm picking Kamale Correa as my defensive pick to click. Yeah. Sharif Finch is out today, and the Titans have been looking for someone to just do something on that spot opposite Landry. You know, Landry has had a great season so far. True. I don't think anyone's going to take anything away from what Harold Landry's been able to give the Titans. But against the Colts, I thought Kamale Correa played his best game.
True.
And that was 2 weeks ago. And Vrabel came out on his coach's TV show and said that he thought Kamale Correa had a great game because he was the guy responsible for Brissett. And I think they're going to take the same plan today, and Correa's going to be the guy responsible for Watson. And as Floyd said all week, the key is keeping Watson in the pocket. I feel good about Landry being able to do his job on one side. Can Correa do the job on the other side to keep Watson inside the pocket?
If it's one-on-one, who's going to win? And he has to make a tackle.
Between Watson and Correa?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You got to hope it's going to be Correa.
It's going to take everybody. And I think it's a great pick. But one-on-one?
I'm not talking about one-on-one. I mean, I'm not saying that I want it just to be man-for-man. Correa's got to run with Watson. I'm talking about when Correa comes down off the edge, he's got to keep Watson from getting outside of him. You know, he cannot let Watson, because again, if you keep Watson in that box, and now Baltimore's defense is totally different than the Titans' defense and is much, much better. But Baltimore's defense, when they really stymied the Houston offense, the two things they did, one, they got away with a blatant pass interference call in the end zone that got reviewed and stood for no reason that makes any sense. But more importantly, what at least for me, Floyd, is they kind of kept Watson in that tackle box. Yeah. They kept him there, and he kept trying to get out of it because he thought he could run out of it, but he couldn't run out of it, and by the time he'd done that, he had run back and forth so much he was sacked for about 15-yard loss on that play.
And that's what we're hoping for here.
And that's what
exactly what.
But like I said, I trust Landry to be able to do his job. Can the guy on the other side do his job?
It's interesting that we all pick defensive linemen.
I know.
Pass rush guys.
Well, I was going to pick Logan Ryan, but I knew you guys were going to give it to me for taking Tannehill and Logan Ryan. So I decided not to pick Logan Ryan. I mean, Logan Ryan's got a big test ahead of him with DeAndre Hopkins.
But he's going to have help, though. Logan's going to have some help in the back end.
Then who's not going to have help? Which receiver for the Texans is not going to draw the help? Is it Kenny Stills?
I mean, I'd rather for Kenny Stills to beat me than Hopkins. I mean, I'll put somebody over there that can – there's nobody that can run with Stills, but at least just have somebody that can try to stay with him. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough
test. Well, then whoever that person you're talking about is, that should then be the pick to click if they're going to go man for man with Kenny Stills.
Okay, there you go.
So, that I mean, there's no way but that. Pick to click, presented by Wholesaling, powered by RumbleOn.com. Titans and Texans as we get closer to kickoff between the Titans and the Texans for first place in the AFC South. How big of a deal, Floyd Reese, would it be for the Titans to gain the upper hand with still 2 weeks to go? I mean, I'm going to say, how big is today's game? Because we know how big today's game is. But how important is it when you know you've got two against the same team with three games to go to take that first one, especially when it's at home?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the issue because you know the next one's going to be at their place, which is going to make it even harder. And it's going to be, you know, very well could be for all the marbles. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly nice to get a leg up if you can. And you know what? Who knows what happens next week? Mm-hmm. If you're lucky enough that you find a way to win and they mess one up, then you're in. So it would certainly be great. I mean, and I heard, you know, the stats last night. If we lose this game, we still have a 30-35% mm-hmm. chance of making the playoffs. But if you win, you have a 75-80% chance of making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So that's how big the game is.
You know, I just think this game is so important because now it shifts the pressure to the Houston Texans. So now if they both win their games next week, the Titans win this week, then all of a sudden the pressure goes to the Texans because now, you got to win. And I think that us being the Tennessee Titans by having that mental toughness, I think we're in favor by going down there and beating the Texans.
Coming up next, Mike Vrabel has his keys to the game. We have our keys to the game and our game day picks. We are live from the George Jones. It is the pregame show. Jared, Chris, Floyd, it's ESPN 102.5, the game. We are live from the George Jones, Titans and Texans, a showdown for the division. It feels like just yesterday that we were sitting up here talking about, well, next year will the Titans draft a quarterback in the first round? Will they try to trade for a quarterback? Will they try to sign a quarterback? What will they try to do? And here come the Titans with the hottest quarterback in the NFL going up against the Texans for first place in the division. I'm not sure many people saw that upcoming when we sat there at 2-4 and they made the change from Mariota. Mike Vrabel has his keys to the game today, what the Titans have to do in order for the Titans to pull out the victory. I do want to know, though, Floyd, if you were GM today, and you brought up an interesting point saying that when you're GM on a game like today, you set it up where you sign the players and you draft the players and you talk to the coaches, but you're not going to be on the field with a headset. You're not going to be sending guys in. You're not going to say dial up the blitz. You're not doing any of that. How nervous would you be right now if you were GM? Like, what would be being around you like on the field right now before the game?
Oh, it'd be pretty quiet. I didn't.
You're not glad handing with the sponsors? No. You're not.
No, I didn't. I got out there. I tried to take everything in. Mm. I mean, I loved this part of the game only because there was no pressure to it. You know, there's no game actually going on. But to see the fans fill up, the stands fill up, to see the little dancers do their dances, to see the kickers warm up, to see all the things. I mean, but I was not a great conversationalist. I mean, I didn't find guys to chat with. I was kind of off by myself.
Meanwhile, it's time for Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. His first key, we know Derrick Henry's active. Let the big dog eat.
I mean, that's been the formula. That's been what's gotten us in this position. We got to run the football, and there's a lot of ways to do it. We can use the quarterback, Derek, Deion gave us some carries, Kari. But we have to get these guys covered up front. is a good front, but people have run the football on them, and we have to do that on Sunday.
Floyd, I don't think there's any secret the Titans are going to need to run the ball early and often and establish the physical brand of football they like to play if they're going to be able to win this football game.
Right, and I think we're going to see some different faces today. I think, Kari will come in and we'll carry the ball. I think he'll get some play time, and you would love it if he was able to do what he did last week with receptions, maybe make a play or two running the ball. But Derek is going to, I'm sure they'll ride him as far as he can go, but I can't imagine that he'll be able to go the whole time. So they're going to have to spell him, and Lewis has got to get in and do a little something. Face it. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. Last week he got his, when everybody was expecting runs. So you're not really thinking you're going to gain a lot of yards. And he didn't. But I think now he's going to get some opportunities more in the early and middle part of the game, and he's going to have to make something happen. He's going to have to give us something on those.
Yeah, he's going to have to get started early. I mean, we don't know how that hamstring's going to hold up. So get him in rhythm early, get him running those punishing runs, and strike fast. Because if you can strike fast and he starts to wear down, later on in the game, then you still put yourself in position to win. So let him have some rhythm and let him go out there and strike first.
So all of our talk today has been about Kenny Stills, DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Darren Fells, Kamar Akins, really the pass game for Deshaun Watson. Mike Vrabel's second key to the game today is the Titans have got to stop the Texans running the football.
Bill O'Brien wants to commit to the run. They got great skill players, but they run the football. Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson, the quarterback's a factor running the football. And they're going to go fast. They're going to get you on the ball. And they have a scheme that they want to run. And they don't try to hide what it is. They run it over and over and over. They're not afraid to repeat plays, and they break some. I mean, they minus two, one, two, and then all of a sudden it's 15 or 16. So be a great challenge for us.
And then that sets up play action for Deshaun Watson.
To move the ball downfield to Fuller and Hopkins.
And Floyd Reese, for that, how much do you worry about the Texans being able to run the football today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, keep in mind, he's a defensive coach, and a defensive coach, every defensive coach will tell you, you got to stop the run. Mm-hmm. And that's true. I mean, you're not going to be able to let them go out there and run the ball. The thing you have to do versus their running game is just what we said before, which is they know their bread and butter. They know their explosive plays lie on the outside. And so, even though they're going to run the ball, I mean, these two offenses, and really the defenses for the most part, are not that dissimilar in the things they want to do. I mean, they want to run to set up the play action pass, and they're going to boot and adjust the quarterback, get him in space to throw the ball. It's just that the players that they have that are stars are like as good as anybody in the league, and I think that's where we kind of fall a little bit. We may be better rounded, but maybe don't have the upper end category that they have.
Yeah, I just don't want them to be so sold out and stop in the pass, and all of a sudden we look up and Carlos Hyde has three touchdowns. I mean, he went to The Ohio State University, so he's a good player.
So he understands touchdowns.
Yeah. So I just think they got to make sure that even if he does get the ball and he starts making those little bitty runs, we got to surround around him and tackle.
Meanwhile, the third and final key today for Mike Vrabel is be certain in the details today for the Titans.
It's what allows us to operate and function. The margin is so thin in this league. They're averaging 24.5 points a game. We're averaging 24.4. At this point of season, these are two evenly matched teams. And so when a player has details and the little things, penalties, our effort and our finish, how well we communicate, those all lead to execution, which could lead to the five or six plays that determine the outcome of some close football games. So just like in the first half, it was tightly contested. I think you saw us make those five or six plays in the second half, which pulled us away, and we're going to need that earlier than what we got it on Sunday.
Meanwhile, it's time now for our keys to the game here at the George Jones. We start with Floyd Reese, your keys to a Titans victory.
I mean, it's kind of the way I started the show. I mean, you know when you get into these tight games, big plays, you've got to, you know, on offense, get, eliminate turnovers. You've got to completely eliminate. You heard Vrabel mention penalties. Penalties, I think, are always the killers. And you've got to watch for the gimmick play. Mm-hmm. And Billy O will have it, I think, in my mind, particularly 30 going in. When we get down the red zone, we were talking about the Titans have been pretty good defensively in the red zone, and Billy O knows that, and he's not going to bang his head against the wall, you know, if he can throw a halfback pass and get seven out of it. So I think we have to be alert for that.
Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
Your key to the game today.
I think the key for me on offense is what happens on the offensive line. I think the offensive line has to protect Tannehill, and also they have to open up their lanes for Henry. So I just think if they win in the trenches, be physical at the line of scrimmage, I think the Tennessee Titans offense can do some things and move the ball and score some points. And I think on defense, we already know you can't give up the explosive plays. I mean, they have some guys that can make plays in the perimeter. They got a running back, Carlos Hyde. They got Hopkins, who's their big play receiver. They just can't give up the big play. Let Deshaun Watson make some mistakes, just like when he played against Denver. He threw two interceptions. Do the same thing in this game. Make him turn the ball over and create make those turnovers.
For me, my key simple: don't let Deshaun take over the game.
Right.
You know, Deshaun is the kind of quarterback who, by running the football, throwing the ball deep, throwing the ball to Hopkins, he can beat you in so many different ways and take this game over. I mean, how many times have we seen the Texans win a game and you look after the game and it's Deshaun Watson had 500 yards of total offense?
Right.
You know, he is capable of that kind of performance. I mean, maybe even more so than Lamar Jackson in terms of being able to take over the game by himself. And I think that Floyd's talked about it all week. Keeping him in the pocket's going to be the key to that. I believe that the key to the game is just do not let Watson take this football game over. By the way, a doubleheader for the late game window, ESPN 94.9 Game 2 and 102.5 The Game. 94.9 Game 2 at 3 o'clock will have Vikings and Chargers. And on 102.5 The Game, Rams-Cowboys at 2:45. So we'll have a doubleheader on both ESPN 102.5 The Game and 94.9 Game 2. It is time now for everybody's favorite segment of the week, Game Day Picks. All three of us guessed correctly on Sunday. Both Chris and I took the Titans, and Floyd took the Raiders 41-40, because ever since Floyd realized how bad he was picking this year, he's decided to pick against the Titans every single game this season. And so far, to be honest with you, it's really worked out since Floyd started picking against the Titans.
6-1.
Floyd, I have you down. 41-40.
Houston.
Today for the Texans.
You got it.
In spite of your pick of the Titans on Friday. Floyd, what happens today?
I mean, it's we're going to have to play a super game. All the things that I've said, you know, earlier, I think still hold true. We're going to have to play better than we think. We're going to have to, you know, not make any mistakes. We're going to have to do. But all the things we're asking for, we can do.
Yep.
You know, it's not like we're saying, okay, you know, you're 6 feet tall between now and the end of the game. You got to be 6'3". We're not saying that. We're just saying Corey Davis, go out and make some plays.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. Brown, make some plays. Don't turn the ball over. Derrick Henry, get yours. Defense, be smart. You know, don't make a mistake.
Chris,
yes.
Who wins today and why?
I'm going with the Tennessee Titans, 35-31. And the reason why I say that, they're at home and we're just playing some good football. The quarterback position is playing well. The defense is bend and not break. So if we just consistently do that the whole game, Tennessee Titans 35, Texans 31.
I'm going Texans. Texans 33-23. I think the Texans get it done. This is just.
There you go.
You can't. I've seen too many Titan games where you get your hopes up and that's what happened. So I'm going to go with the Texans. That's it for us. We're out of here. We will be back here next Sunday. What time? We don't know, because it might get flexed into Sunday night football. So we will see you then. Titans, Texans, Jared and the GM tomorrow at 2. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.